tell what they don't tell them. We've been underwater since they threw us in the boat. Selling cotton, picking blues, rock and roll, railroad building, serving white America before we was dope dealing. Brick laid the birth of a nation, it's the rock. White House, black man, plantation, it's Barack. But we still can't cross the street without the cops trying to zimmer man as well. The whole neighborhood watch. They changed us to the auction block, but now we changing the locks. Cause even Bill O'Reilly's daughter out here drinking some rock. Now that's what I call a 21st Century Fox. Well, Megyn Kelly trying to tell me Santa's white and Sandy Graham murder was right. I just remember rap stars, the new rock. I pull strings like the orchestra. Shut down your corporate. Nat Turner run up in the doors to your Nordstrom with 100 niggas ready and 100,000 more for you.
Future Martin Luther dreamt when he was a man.
Thank you, and welcome to Africa 400, Wednesday, December 21st. Thank you for Diaspora for joining us once again. Today, we're continuing our series, No Love for Black Boys. Of course, you just heard Vic Menza singing, telling us, go tell him, from the movie Birth of a Nation, talking about one of our warriors, Nat Turner. But also, we highlighting Vic Menza because he's in the film, Black Boys film. Very important film, folks. Y'all have to see his documentary. Talks about growing up a black boy and black man in America. So we decided to, we're using that film as one of our references, as well as the groundbreaking work of Dr. Jawanza Kanjufe, Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. And with that, we've been highlighting some amazing programs, organizations, schools across the country that are countering that narrative and they are insisting on owning their own narrative. And today is our final series. Today we're featuring ISLA Academy in Los Angeles, California, doing some amazing, amazing work. We're going to be hearing today from Iman Jihad. He's going to be telling us about ISLA Academy and the work they're doing, how he founded it, why he founded it. And of course, my co-host is back, Brother Ty, is in the studio. Say hello, Brother Ty.
Hello.
So of course, Brother Ty always speaking truth to power. As only he can. Before we get to Brother Jihad, we're just going to go over a little bit of the news across the diaspora, keep us up and on code on what's going on within this place called America and the seat of white supremacy racism. We know the recent verdict of Atiana Jefferson, that was just handed down. The white police officer killed her, 28 years old. This was 2019 at the height of COVID. It was interesting. She was a frontline worker, shot her while she sat in her house with her nephew. It was interesting watching the video. Some of the people were so upset. He got convicted of manslaughter, not murder. You said that's a difference, Brother Ty, manslaughter, murder. They were screaming in the courtroom. They was really upset.
Manslaughter, anybody that's familiar with the what we call the so-called justice system, manslaughter is a way lesser charge than murder one. And what you got to also keep in mind, that depending on the particular state that you're in, manslaughter carries different penalties for the different states. Might be one state, might be 1 to 5. Now it might be 1 to 2.
That's why the activists were so upset when it came down.
Of course, because the activists saying, you murdered that woman. She was in a house playing video games with her nephew.
So that is what occurred with that. Also, we know Atiana, her father died a few weeks after she was murdered. And then also her mother died, I believe, the next year. So this family got hit 3 times. This is in the seat of white supremacy. This is in Texas. So let's keep up with that. Also, I want to mention Dr. Mutulu Shakur was released, I believe, yesterday. Stepfather of Tupac Shakur. Dr. Mutulu Shakur has done several decades in prison as a political prisoner. He was one of the ones, he brought acupuncture into the drug community in New York. He did profound work. He also did profound work around truth and reconciliation. And he also did profound work, the thug philosophy, which Tupac Shakur took into the inner city. So Dr. Mutulu Shakur is out. He's very ill, of course, but we also want to make note of that. Glad that he's out and he's been released. Also, we know last week in Washington, D.C., they had a U.S.-Africa conference all week. U.S. is courting African leaders at several conferences because the U.S. knows they have to do business with Africa for survival, business, and trade. I was able to attend one of those conferences, and because the people that are in Congress now, in the sense in America, because they are so arrogant, I don't know if they're going to be able to get past their racism and how they see Africans to be able to deal with them on an equal footing. They talk about the Asians, but one of the African brothers was telling me, he said, at least the Asians, they don't look down on us. They're not condescending. Also, Asians are people of color, and they have endured some oppression also by Europeans. So that was interesting to attend that. Also, recent news in Winston-Salem University, HBCU, young lady Leila Hammond was arrested. They came in and handcuffed her. She got into an argument with her professor, Cynthia Villa Gomez. Some type of argument ensued. Someone called the police. They actually came inside the classroom and put handcuffs on this young lady and took her out of the class. And so everybody's causing havoc. Of course, I'm talking about this as HBCUs. Of course, it goes into the school-to-prison pipeline and goes into that whole narrative. So the students are looking at this. And so what we recommend is that she should definitely go. Whoever recommended her, because we know HBCUs is supposed to be a safe space, one of the things that was mentioned is that she does not have the same lived experience as a student, a person of African descent. So we want to keep that in mind. That's at Winston-Salem HBCUs. Also, we had, the Meghan Markle, Harry Netflix documentary. Talk about a deer in headlights. That was interesting. I watched that. The young lady talking about how she basically grew up not knowing her blackness, all white boyfriends, all white friends, just a total absence of blackness. So of course, if you're married to the royal family, you go into the seat. This is the beginning of white supremacy. But it shows parents, children, white father, black father, so have it, where they don't talk about blackness because of the shame they feel attached, and it spills over into their children. So it's interesting to look at that and see you have some white people. I think Harry talked about this, the prince working out their anti-racism, and they'll marry a black person. The black person not being conscious doesn't realize what's going on. They're trying to work out their anti-racism, not being racist. But at the same time, it's like this person's going to the slaughter. And so they have various issues. She even mentioned about talking about committing suicide. Just a mess. So we can give this parenting a big F. Not making the child aware of all of their heritage. So those are just a few headlines. We're going to go ahead and we're going to we're going to take just a little break. We're going to do just a little bit of Nas, and then we'll come back to Brother Jihad. Drunk though, you weak cats are played out. Get robbed and laid out. Gambino turned snitch, I got the bite out. 96 ways I made out. Montana way, the good F-E-L-L-A. Verbal AK spray, dip the tattoo. Jump out the range, empty out the ashtray. A glass of Zay, making mad cashes. Clay, red dot plots. Murder schemes, 32 shots rung. Regulate with my thun, 17 rocks clean from one ring. Yo, let me let y'all people know one thing. It's one life, one love, so there can only be one king. Do. And Lauryn Hill gives us a little bit of intro. So we're going to welcome Brother Jihad. Are you on with us, Africa 400?
Yes, I'm here.
Assalamu alaikum. So glad to have you.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank
pleasure,
you.
Pleasure being on. And I love the classics. Y'all playing the classics. Okay. Got the Nas. And I love it.
Okay, good. You know, we really do a lot of preparation for each show, and we look at the guests, and we try to make sure the music. Brother Richard, know I be sending him like, "Wait, man, we gotta do this." So we be trying to make sure the vibe is all set. Yeah, so thank you.
I love it. I'm loving it already.
All right, so today we're gonna be featuring the work you're doing in LA. We do work with prison work, and California is a country of prisons. Oh my goodness. And yeah. This is your backdrop. And just talk to our folks, because it's a lot of talk right now. People saying we need to educate our own children. We talk about the school-to-prison pipeline. How did you come up? Well, you had to be trained. I'm noticing most of the folks like yourself that are starting your schools and programs, it started real young, you being aware of your own, being able to self-determination, I would say. Talk to us a little bit about your journey starting and why, and then we'll continue to talk.
Yeah, well, you know, we ran into, you know, a few different instances, especially dealing with our young people. Our young people, right before opening the school, we had two young stars in our community. We had to hear about their court cases and both of them ending up in prison. Before that, my generation and a couple of generations even after mine, we have to watch them, you know, get funneled from the public school system into the, criminal justice system.
Hmm.
You know, so we knew there was a need for a school. So we couldn't sit on it because at that particular time, myself, my daughter was growing up, and then several community members had children. And if we didn't do anything, we imagined a future with our children also being funneled into the criminal justice system. So we decided to put everything on the line. You know, some of us left employment, and we decided to open up a private school.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, I want to take you back a little bit, what you said. You kind of gave the narration of a black child growing up in America, the criminal system, the racism, and you said we saw the need for a school. How did you come to, what does a school do, or what is it involved to counter the narrative that you just laid out?
You know, many of our, you know, institutions right here in America, in our neighborhoods, especially in the inner city, they set the child up for, first of all, psychological failure. You know, they may get to a point, especially with the athletic programs and so on and so forth, they may find themselves. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you good.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear
so
you
they,
good.
With the athletic programs, they may find themselves, you know, dominating physically, but a lot of these environments are set up for psychological failure. You know, so what we found is that, you know, we needed to construct an environment that helped our children to flourish psychologically, to help them flourish religiously. You know, they come out of these institutions a lot of times in a position where their self-esteem is very low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their self-belief, you know, and their ability is very low. And then also they find themselves where they have no spirituality, no relationship with God. Mm. So we wanted to be deliberate in regards to our approach in building them up psychologically and at the same time religiously.
Brother Ty, he talks about the psychological self, a psychological failure. We know that's your forte. Development of psychology, one of our elders. What is he? Can you expound on that? Because he's the first person, our first guest, has actually brought that up. Our children suffer a psychological failure.
Well, what he, you had to contextualize it. He's talking about a situation, a total situation. I'm going to say it like that. When I say total situation, I mean a cultural situation. Context, and the cultural context is America, which is founded on the concept of white supremacy racism, which speaks to how the white dominated culture, how they think, their logic, how they emote, and how they behave. And all these things permeate there are different institutions here in America, whether it's education, economics, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. But one of the major, a couple of things, when you talk about children, especially specifically children of African descent, going from schools on a pipeline schedule to jail, is a society, in the first place, is supposed to, a number of things, is supposed to protect the babies. It is supposed to protect the babies. And that's a whole different, we could write books on what that means when I say protection. Part of that protection is psychological. One other thing.
My auntie on Jeff's, her nephew was in there when she got killed.
Yeah.
That's no protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Self-esteem is developed, as you hear the brother talking about education. When a child enters the first, second, third, fourth grade, each grade remember, society sets this up. Each grade that a child enters, he's supposed to develop commensurate skills that parallel his ability to manipulate and develop his mind, develop his motor skills at that particular level. So if you got bad schools, bad teachers, bad food, etc., then that child's self-esteem is going down instead of up. And you got a classroom, and you in a situation where the teacher's not teaching you anything about your greatness, about your blackness, about your melanated self, but teaching all about European culture that permeates every book, every desk, every part of that building. And when that child steps out that schoolroom and back onto the streets, that's all they see is white supremacy, racism permeating his or her mind.
And they made it feel ashamed.
Oh, of course. Feeling ashamed is the fatal bullet because it's subtle. You know, you break a child. The child come into school when they first get there, it pumped up.
But it makes me think of Meghan Markle. Her parent, mother, did not teach her blackness, and she said in the film that when she got with the royal family, they made a big deal about her being black because she was made to feel ashamed because the mother felt ashamed. And so this girl's going through these changes. And you know, Brother Jihad, as Brother Ty was breaking this down, you talked about how you had to create a total environment, because Brother Ty just described an environment.
part of what Brother Safir is doing, and this must be understood. The creator, each generation produces a group, a generation that has something different in them. And we are now, and we have been, in a process of evolution / transformation. So, and what I mean by that is that the brother Safir is part of the transformation process because intuitively, that's what he was talking about. He has understood that we must educate our own children. We must create our own narrative if we are to survive, because a person that for 300 to 400 years have been beating you, raping you, killing you, slaving you, you think they're going to give you a right education? And you only get respect, any ethnic group only get respect when they control their own narrative, their own environment, their own schools, their own economic situation, et cetera.
Come on, talk to us.
Yeah.
No, Safir is on the cutting edge because he's a process of synthesis. What he's doing, and as he learned as he go, he's got Islam with the African knowledge of our ancient ancestors.
I'm laughing, bro. Ty, y'all got Koopa in here today. Bro, Ty is in the Koopa. We all in Koopa. Go ahead, Brother Safir. Talk to us. Respond to what Brother Ty, how he breaking with your work down, but also he breaking you down too. Respond to us.
No, that's good stuff. I think we can build for the next 3 days on this stuff, you know, but, you know, without a break. But, you know, what we have to understand, I think what's important is that, you know, resources are more than just financial resources. You know, they usually break resources into three. So you have your material, financial resources, but you also have your interpersonal resources, you know, and you have your personal resources. So your interpersonal resources are your relationships with people. You know, that's very important as you progress in life. One of your biggest thing is who you have a relationship with. And then at the same time, your personal resources is, you know, your self-esteem, you know, your sense of competence, your confidence, you know, how you see yourself, you know? So I think one thing that we have to really focus on, which is can if you are broke in regards to your personal resources, but you have financial resources, then you'll still be at a deficit. The one of your most important resources are your sense of self, your sense of competence and confidence, and your belief in your own ability. So I think this is important in which setting up environments where our children, they can leave out of there feeling that I can achieve and I can be effective in this environment. And the environment has to be deliberately set up for them to flourish psychologically, not just financially.
When he talks about interpersonal relationships, which is the glue that holds an individual and community together. An African saying is, because I am, we are. And because we are, therefore, I am. Mm-hmm. And that concept is based on consubstantiation. Consubstantiation. And consubstantiation refers to that all of us are part of the unity, and we belong to a creator whom his spirit flows into us. So we connected to that creator. Really, we are brothers and sisters. And that is referring to relationships.
Yeah.
Relationships. Reciprocity. Loving one another.
Talked about the lack of spirituality at the beginning, but Ty just brought it back around. And I think you tapping into, and Brother Antonio Stalvo, he's doing some work down in Virginia. Y'all both are tapping into, and Brother Ty talks about the lack of, that we lost our spiritual connection. It's the lack of spirituality. Can you speak to, through your school, well, you're Muslim, you're Islam, the importance of that, of what that looks like for your children?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we know about in regards to religious identity is that, you know, you're important. The relationship with God is, we see it as essential. You know, so to be able to go throughout the day and we stop for prayer, you know, before, you know, our children, they go and have lunch, then they all have a collective prayer together where they stop all their worldly pursuits. They stop the selfishness that we have, getting things done for ourselves, and they have a moment to reflect on a relationship with God, who they view is above themselves. So I think that's important. That's a powerful you know, thing to really contemplate on, is that, you know, my day, a lot of times, you know, the average person's day is just, it's really pursuing things that's going to benefit themselves. And then all of a sudden they have to stop in the middle of something and direct their focus upon their relationship with God. So I think that's an important component, a part of our schooling, because, you know, different things happen, especially with the children. I mean, they'll be in the middle of a conflict with each other, and all of them have to stop and pray next to each other in the middle of the day. You know, they'd be in the middle of some gossip. You know, they have their own little world. You know, they have their language in their world, and so on and so. All that stops, and then they begin to share a collective language, a collective moment with each other, and focusing on God. So I think that's important.
You speak to, you know, the power of prayer. I'm thinking, I want to ask you, Brother Ty, what the importance of prayer when you delay that, a child stopping, he said, you got to stop, you're in a conflict, a child stopping, our children stopping and directing and engaging in a dialogue with their creator.
Well, one thing that needs to be understood right away, people of African descent by nature are founded, are created on a spiritual paradigm. We are created on a spiritual paradigm. We're not physical beings by nature. We are spiritual beings by nature. That was destroyed in many of us to one degree or another. Now, having said that, when, as human beings, we have a contract with the supreme deity, we have a duty and responsibility to submit to this this divine being and to perform certain tasks. And as a result of that, we are blessed with a higher self, a higher understanding that this material world is the lowest plane that human beings can exist on, and it's not our real home. And in an evolutionary transformative process, our ancient ancestors, the Egyptians, whose real name were the Kemites, they practiced it in their pyramids. They understood this. Jesus studied it there. Abraham studied there. Moses studied there. Luke 1 studied there. They became sons of light. They was crystallized at the third degree. That's what that temple was about. And these brothers understood it. So Islam has always been in existence because Islam is based on one foundational concept, the belief in a supreme deity. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bertai. As Bertai speaks, I...
Oh, one other thing he says in the Quran. The creator says in the Quran, I am closer than your jugular vein.
Brother Jihad, now looking at y'all curriculum and thinking about Islam, your curriculum, y'all programming is very robust for children this young. And Brother Ty spoke about it. How are you able to translate what he just said, interpret, and pass this on to the children? You got 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-olds. How do you know it's getting to their inner core, their inner selves?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things is that we plan on just giving our greatest effort. You know, we've done a lot of studies into this in regards to what motivates them. We did a lot of studies in regards to motivation. You know, so I think for us, we're going to put in our best foot. We're going to put our best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's up to the creator. It's up to Almighty God in regards to whether they, you know, because, you know, as it mentioned in the Quran, some people trade in the beauty that God gives them and they trade it in for, you know, for filth. Mm. You know, what we hope and we pray for our young people that they're going to take what we have given them, the tools that we have given them, and flourish. And we're going to have utmost hope in the creator that they will flourish. But, you know, for us, we're putting our best foot forward. You know, one thing that we look at is that task and everything we do, people assign value to. You know, so for example, a person, if they don't value prayer, they're not going to pray. You know, some people value watching the game more than praying, you know. So people assign value to tasks and behaviors. So one, just to give a little preview, you know, in regards to our studies, is that you have what is called interest value. You also have cost value. When we look at interest value, it's also people do things because it's exciting and fun. So we may take a math lesson and implement fun and excitement in the lesson to where the children, they want to do the math lesson. You know, I teach language also. So we teach Arabic as a spiritual language. But instead of just teaching all the way out of the textbook, we pause and we do a winter show, and they do an all Arabic play. And that brings value into them learning Arabic also, you know. So it's really putting things into the assignments to where it becomes a part of them, you know, and they begin to value the assignments and the lessons that they're giving. The very difficult thing in the time that we are living in, especially this time of social media, is to get them to value studying, get them to value learning, you know. So it's really being equipped. And, you know, we've been blessed to really study and see what motivates people to do what they do. So we're trying to implement little things and little strategies to get it to stick. And we hope that is going to stick.
You mentioned something very important. You talking about getting them to value. I want to bring you a little bit into from ISLA Academy to the wider community, the Black community. This view of education. We're going to bring in El-Hajj Malik Shabazz. Brother Malcolm going to speak real quick about education.
You are Afro-American, who will admit it? But if it is true, why? It is true that there is a sluggishness, intellectual sluggishness, academic sluggishness, in almost any Negro community. But this exists only because of the result that has come upon us through years and years of slavery and being held down in this society. And this is why I made reference to the book Crisis in Black and White. This particular man gives a very good scientific analysis as to why this lethargy exists in the Negro community. It is something that has been created by the system. The system is designed to make the Negro student lose his interest in education almost before he even gets started in school. And the parents, usually, who are also limited where education is concerned and who have run into so many barriers and obstacles despite the fact they had education, sometimes they ask themselves, what's the use? So as long as the system that we are in exists, and this system, the survival of this system depends upon the continued exploitation of the Black man in this country. The survival of it depends upon the continued degrading of the Black man in this country and the necessity of using us as the whipping boy and the alibi and the excuse. As long as this system exists, then you will find that our people will have the same attitude toward education. And they have a justified, I should say, they have an attitude that can be explained. But at the same time, the burden rests upon the leaders of the Afro-American community to try and instill within the youth especially the desire to further their education, because without it, you're not going anywhere on this earth today.
Brother Jihad,
was beautiful. I'm listening to that. I'm like, wow, you know, when we look at, so value is so important, because it's like, if our children see our adults get degrees and unable to get jobs, then school is going to lose utility value. You know, if you see people who, you know, there's also cost value. So, for example, you know, they have the concept of if I get education, then I'm going to be looked down socially in my community. You know, so now it's like it's too high of a cost to get educated psychologically because I'm going to be looked down and looked at as being white or selling out. You know, so there can be some cost value issues in regards to them seeking education. You know, our job, we come in and we try to figure out how are we going to raise the value of the product that we're offering. Because if you're not deliberate about this, you're going to find your children, you know, value, you know, you have to figure out how are you going to sell them the concept that education is going to be useful for their future. You know, and that has to be very deliberate. We talk, we may spend hours on talking about how are we going to really sell this idea of education is better for you to really navigate this world. So it's been, I'm talking about hours of conversation and being very deliberate on how we bring this to our children.
And now, you know, as you talk, that's been the whole premise of the show. It started with a mother and her son being disciplined and being rolled up on in reports as inherited criminality. 5 years old. This is in L.A.
Yeah.
And so I believe what you speak to is if we can sell that value education, we could break the school to prison pipeline. We could break the prison system. We could break the supply chain that's going into the prison system. This is what Brother Malcolm was speaking to, breaking that, and this lethargy that he talks about that is just, whew, rampant, the sluggishness.
Yeah. But it's been, that's what our studies have been about, just really trying to figure out, you know, how to raise the value of education. You know, one thing that we find is that, you know, everyone, we're wired to, when we go into any environment, we construct an avoidable self, you know, so we find the figures that we don't want to become, and then we construct a possible self. We find the figures that we want to become, you know. So we make sure we introduce our children to figures that they can later on, you know, have a possible future self that they imagine for themselves based on these figures. You know, see, the issue is that the figures that they're constantly being that's constantly being promoted to them and placed in front of them, they end up taking these figures and building a future self. You know, and so we're really deliberate on what type of figures that we present to our young people.
I love it. I could hear your research and your deep thought, many hours of deep thought. Folks, we're going to take just a quick little break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk and hear more from Brother Jihad on the 8 C's of character, which I love, that you all teach. And also we're going to talk a little bit about what Islaw Academy is doing and how we can continue to support them.
Conscious of the way we raise our daughters, days are shorter, nights are colder, feeling like life is over, these snakes strike like a cobra, the world's hot, my son got knocked, evidently, it's elementary, they want us all gone eventually, trooping out of state for a plate, knowledge, if it was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars, imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes, lacing your click up with diamond rolls, your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers, going raw, imagine law with no undercovers, just some thoughts for the mind, I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons,
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Yo, where to be? Paradise life relaxing, black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range, cash, lost tribe of Shabazz, free at last, brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do, trees for breakfast, dime sexes and bend stretches. So many years of depression make me vision, the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies, history's told foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl, plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding trips to Paris. I civilized every savage. Give me one shot, I turn tripe life to lavish. Political prisoner set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse fiends to Willies. It sound foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
He talking to us. Open up every cell in Attica, send them to Africa. Open up every cell. Open up every cell. And that's what we're doing with this education system with folks like Iman Jihad. We, believe it or not, folks, this works towards dismantling this system, white supremacy, racism, giving our children, as he mentioned the word, imagination, to begin to construct their own narrative. Brother Jihad, talk to us about, on your website, you all instill in the children this 8 C's of character. I love that. I've read it. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, I want to, first of all, you know, when we're talking about the school to prison pipeline.
Yes.
You know, Nas has this song, One Love,
where
he writes his friend who is in prison. And, you know, he also talks about, you know, just the young people losing confidence in the religious institutions, you know, and that always strikes me. You know, showing that, you know, we have to have concern with our young brothers. So we don't have a Nas where he has to use what's in front of him to write, you know, and what's in front of him is the injury of mass incarceration. And so this reflects in his lyrics. So, you know, we hear a young man crying out during it. He was a young man writing this. So.
That's right.
But when we, these eight C's are
characters. Let me back you up a little bit, Rajab. Okay. When you talk about Nas and what he wrote in the eight C's, and you hear, especially rap at that time, they were telling their stories. They was crying out. I mean, it was real rap. What they got today, yeah. It's Mickey Mouse stuff. It's like irrelevant. It don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Crying out about the incarceration, the racism. How do you shift a boy? Because also in the song, Nas talks about knowing history, getting away from the lies that they told. And you talked about presenting the children real people. Can you speak to how do you shift a young person? Brother Richie always talks about his mother gave him the book, The Five Black Presidents, that shift him in his teen years. Can you speak to that? And Brother Ty, you can speak to it too. Just how do we shift, cause that dissonance, as Brother Ty always talks about? Go ahead, Brother Jihad.
Yeah, you know, one of the C's, so we have consciousness. You know, this is, making sure that we're aware of God. We have God consciousness, but we're also aware of the self and the community. You know, so this idea of community, I think, is important. We've gotten away from that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a person who, they have a certain amount of money. They've been offered a certain amount of money and fame. But with that, they're not considering their community. They're not considering the young people that they're impacting coming up, you know. So this idea of concern. So we have consciousness. We have concern. You know, we're a person. I'm not going to put that out on the airwaves because I'm concerned about a young brother or sister hearing that. Coming up, you know what I'm saying, and it's going to impact their future because I'm given a position where I'm going to be constantly played in their ear, you know, and I find my children, you know, they're in position, they can put their children in private school, but the young brothers and sisters growing up in the inner city have to listen to that, and they find themselves trying to actualize what they hear in the music, you know, but they can protect their children after getting that money in return. So, you know, there's no concern for the community. Consideration, you know, consideration is being mindful of how one's actions affect others. Courage, even in adversity, they're principled people. They stand for principles in which they believe in. So control, they also have the control over their desires and impulses. You know, the desire sometime of our young men and women to get involved in these useless sexual relationships, but having control and being deliberate about their body, you know, and how they utilize their body and their choices to build family and community. So that control. And then also having confidence, which is a huge personal resource. When you go into an environment, you take in there with you your confidence, your consistency. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, I used to work in I used to have a barbershop, and we would hear about people, they would talk all the black talk, all the beautiful talk about the community and everything else, but they lack the consistency there to continue to fight, you know, and then also contribution. So contribution speaks to service, to really share one's time and energy to contribute towards goodness and uplifting the beauty and the beautiful concepts in the community.
You know, as you mentioned those, Jihad, our children, for people having to send all those are stripped away, they under attack. you know, especially as you explain, I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, coming from, especially even in the womb, if the mother's under attack, and now they've developed these things, you know, the baby within the womb, you know, this is profound. But Ty, you had made a note as you were speaking to, just all of that is attacked as a child, as a little boy, a little girl, right away, immediately. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Ty.
We, the situation has to be, understood on different levels. You need biologists, psychologists, neurologists, etc. Now, to give an example, with the brother Safir just got finished talking about, when he talked about consciousness. It's funny he should mention that, because I've reading T. Moore on consciousness now. The brother writes the books on melanin. Safir might have came across one of his books.
Yeah.
T. Moore, yeah. Me and Tomiko, my wife, we met him in Florida at FAMU when he was graduating with his PhD. He just sent me a book the other day. So anyway, my point is that consciousness, the idea of self and community, consciousness and God, all are intertwined. They complement one another. Community means a group of people in relationships. And when you understand the divine origin of things, when you understand to some degree how the Creator is working this thing, you understand that the entire nature itself is about relationships. The trees, the birds, the bugs on the ground, the insects, the amoeba, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we all have to work in some form of community. We're in separate communities, but even though these communities are separate, there's interpersonal relationships, meaning that we cross each other and we shake each other's hands and realize that, okay, that's you, this is me. So, but we can work together and create that harmony and that peace that we need. Now, having said that, morality. If you don't have a moral foundation, which is the origin, of people of color, Mawlana Muhammad Ali's Quran says, I have created man in black mud, molded into shape. The white man said, I'm the first in civilization. But the Quran counteracts that. The first man was created in black. What is black mud? Blackness. The black dot. You understand what I'm saying? So, the Europeans who have dominated the world for the last 6,000 years have taken us down into a materialistic way of thinking, our lower mind, where we see where the reality is that, okay, it's about self. If it's about individualism, if it's about self, then you're not concerned with the other person. Now, remember, as people of color, we come from an environment where communalism was practiced. The group was more important than the individual. If the individual got out of order, then he was expelled from the group because he could endanger the community as a whole. So, yeah. And so we had a sense, I use that word, a sense of morality. And one of the main objectives of the Europeans was to destroy our humanness. And when you destroy a person's or group's humanness, you destroy their morality. That's their foundation. That gives them the understanding what's right or what's wrong. Who is our creator and who is not our creator? That's why he put Jesus up there as a white man and made him our creator. That's materialism. You're worshiping a man. That's paganism. But the creator is so much more. The Quran says, Sur Ikhlas, say he Allah, one and only. Allah, the eternal, the absolute. He begetteth not, nor is he begotten, and there's none comparable unto him. Kul hu alahusta had, alahusta mad. Lam yulid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun, lahu kufuwa ahad.
Y'all, the wall's on fire in here, just so y'all know, but we gonna stay. Brother Ty expounds. It dawned on me as I was listening to him, Brother Jihad, and listening to you break down the eight C's: consciousness, compassion, consideration, courage, control, confidence, consistency, and contribution, that what you are doing through Isla Academy, especially you talk about compassion, consideration, is that you are instilling in the children a sense of community. You're building in them, which we have lost, which Brother Ty just broke down, which you spoke to, and that has been the detriment of us, to us, that loss of community, lack of consideration and compassion for others. And if we get that back, we could change this whole damn thing in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's up to us. We could change it. And the work you're doing is so important. I'm sensing and getting even more just the profoundness. Everybody should have these 8 C's. We should be teaching our children in every school, whatever school, whatever type, Black, African, Center school, these 8 C's should be instilled in our children.
Yeah, most definitely.
It goes back to, your brother mentioned control of desires. He mentioned confidence. All these concepts that he is mentioning are concepts that should be instilled at the beginning of a child's journey in whatever particular society that they are a part of. That is part of what the society or the culture that they come up in is supposed to help them with. Example, a Black woman who was kidnapped, a Black woman who was raped, a Black woman who was cut in half with a machete knife while she was pregnant by the Belgian king of in the Congo back in the 18th century. That umbilical cord, it shoots fear along that umbilical cord when the fetus is developing. And that fear is instilled traveling through their blood into that baby. And that baby come out shaking. What happens to the female? That's the first environment that the child sees when it comes out. If the mother is undeveloped, if the mother is broke down, to keep it simple, psychologically, she gonna instill that in the child. And that's the first stage of development in a child. Trust versus mistrust. Trust in that individual who, because the child sees her, say, I can trust her, then I should be able to trust the environment that I'm going to be in. But if she can't, if he don't develop that trust seeing her as a model, then he's going to look at that environment that he's a part of in a strange and weird way. He's going to be alienated. From day one, Eric Erickson's Childhood and Society.
You know, as Brother Ty talks, our Brother Jihad and all the educators that have been on here the last few weeks, we thank y'all so much for teaching our children that maybe some of our parents can't teach them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You, brother, you have a profound, you have a, the Creator's given you a beautiful a work schedule. Let me say it like that. and it's a heavy schedule. And everybody can't handle that demonstration. So I'd rather you than me. If you understand what I'm saying.
That's a heavy demonstration. Dr. Frederick Grass Wilson said he's doing his cosmic assignment.
Yeah, he's doing his
cosmic.
Yeah, and
parents, we people in LA, we thank you. People on East Coast, we thank you.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you.
Your teachers, your principals, your wife, all y'all, all the community, bring this together. Any comments? Final thoughts?
I thank you all. No, it's you know, for myself, I'm grateful just to be able to serve, and you know, one of the things we just implemented, which I see is very important, which I think all around the country, all of us need to learn conflict resolution skills. You know, one of the things that really impact our ability to flourish just as a people is our inability to get along with each other, to develop unification in regards to our projects and so on and so forth, for us to work together. So what we've been working on as a community from the young people, and we've implemented with the adults, is that, you know, a lot of conflict arises because of perhaps mistakes in attribution. You know, so an example of that is that you can walk past someone and you can assume that they didn't give you a greeting because they don't like you.
Right. Which does happen.
But what if that person didn't give you the greeting because there's something so much on their mind that they couldn't even focus on giving you the greeting? So, greeting, you know, instead of it spiraling out of control and downward spiral in regards to conflict, to where you end up demonizing the person and end up putting the person on your hit list, you know. So we've been focusing really on our relationships. So I would say all around the country, whether it's a household, whether it's an organization, whether it's a school or whatever, prioritize relationships. Let us all learn the skills on how to be share space with each other, how to be in the community, you know, with each other. And it makes learning a lot more easier.
Brother Jihad, you know, as you speak, I know I have a strong component of restorative justice, which is one to highlight, which is that has been mentioned several times during this during this series. This is week 5, y'all.
Y'all building the city, though.
We building the city? Okay, go ahead. You're going to take that. Only at melanin people can do that. Take my language and spin it like that. We are building a city. I love it.
Yeah.
How does that, you know, I love how y'all implement that. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about restorative justice. But I talked about early Ubuntu philosophy, I am we. You know, what affects one affects the other. You teach the children this at a very young age. You're instilling this.
Our school, you know, so our school, the name of it is Islah. So this idea in the Quran, it said it. There's another phrasing where it says Islah bayna nas, and it's reconciling and healing relationships between people. So the idea of Islah is really healing relationships between people. So we wanted to the best of our ability to embody that, you know. So we've been really you know, teaching people how to, you know, to speak less violently to each other. You know, we've been trying to teach our adults to speak in ways that are less controlling. Sometimes we're so controlling with each other, with our household, that it causes psychological defects in the people that surround you, and also the children, you know. So that restorative justice piece, we're constantly circling up. I mean, we're in circles. Sometimes it might be a few times a month, you know, but we constantly have a circle going on, taking place, because we oftentimes we misunderstand each other. So we need that circle to have a greater dialogue on what's plaguing us, what's bothering us.
Excellent.
You know,
excellent. That's talking about, the restorative justice circle. In a circle of life, Africans, we are circles. Circle of life is very important to our culture. So powerful. Amazing work y'all doing as we come. I'm so glad that we featured y'all. Y'all like the ice on the cake, our last school that we're featuring. I wanted to ask you, what would you recommend to those? Because you all have a micro school. To those that have been listening, that want to do it, they're thinking about it, they're scared, they don't know if they can do it. What would be your comments to those that are listening across the diaspora, wanted to teach? I think we don't have no choice now, y'all. I think we got to teach our own children. But what's your comments, your suggested recommendation to those that want to, but they're a little bit hesitant?
Well, I mean, I'll admit to you all, I mean, this is expensive. And it's constantly, I mean, we have, you know, we had to get to a point where we had to pay a full-time fundraiser, you know, and it's a person that's all they're focused on is fundraising. To even get to that point, you have to be able to pay them. So that's even expensive to get a full-time fundraiser. So not to discourage anybody, but it is, you know, it is an expensive endeavor. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's really setting goals, you know. So mm-hmm. the first goal may, mm-hmm. you know, they have now, they have the a homeschool type of co-op type of thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you enroll your children in a homeschool, mm-hmm. and they have home charter schools and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And as a group, you just provide a facility, whether it's someone's home, hmm. whether someone has a building that's not currently occupied, mm-hmm. you utilize that, mm-hmm. and you work your way up, you know. So maybe mm-hmm. there's a point in time where you say, okay, we'll do this, we'll save our money, mm-hmm. and then eventually we're going to go totally private, mm-hmm. you know, to where we're no longer going to depend on mm-hmm. funds from whether it's the charter or mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But you know, totally private is true freedom. I mean, we at this point right now, even though it's expensive and mm-hmm. we're always constantly fundraising. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing like being able to teach a curriculum. Mm-hmm. Like you all say, you know, we're able to teach religion, but we're also able to teach about our people. You know, we're able to teach about African civilization mm-hmm. and the contributions of, you know, those who were here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to recognize our historical mm-hmm. Presence right here in the Americas, mm-hmm. but also what we've accomplished in African civilizations that came before, from Mansa Musa to mm-hmm. Askia the Great to so on and so forth. So to even before that, going into Egypt, to the people of Kemet, you know, so on and so forth. So in order to do that, you got to be private. So that's the goal. And it's an expensive goal, but
how can we
start
support
small.
Y'all? Where do we go? How do we support y'all? Where do we give our monies to? Donations?
Yeah. Well, right now you can go to mm-hmm. ISLA Academy. So ISLAH mm-hmm. Academy.org, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, and then we have, you know, we need constant donations. We need constant help. It's not easy. We want to, you know, we in LA.
Right.
So LA is, it's expensive. I mean, this stuff is, they're trying to ship all of us to the desert in LA, you know, in California. So we're trying to stay in the inner city in South, we're in South LA on Slauson.
Mm-hmm. And where and you we need to be over, in the inner city too. That's exactly what we
yeah.
need to be.
Mm-hmm. No, it's important. You know, we're in a beautiful vein because before we opened this school, there was the Marcus Garvey, it was a Marcus Garvey school, you know. So we came and took over and we brought in that religious component, but we're still teaching about Garvey and, you know, those who contributed early on. We still, you know, it's a beautiful situation. We have students from the Nation of Islam in the school. We have, students who, you know, represent, you know, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We have everybody in that particular school. They're representing different pathways in regards to what it means to be a Muslim right here in America. But the children don't. They are children. They make us realize how silly we are in our arguments with one another. You know, so they're all sharing the same space with each other and learning with each other. So we need y'all's support. We need. I mean, it's going to take all hands on deck.
That's right.
From around the corner. It's not, it can't just be a California thing.
Yes.
It has to be really, you know, what we're doing is building the model that hopefully can be taken and duplicated around the country.
Exactly. And that's why, and that's what we hope to inspire people that to replicate you all's model, to listen, to get ideas from it. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think that we have no choice to go forward. We didn't live 400 years. Under the foot, the neck, of our oppressor, you know, and we can't do another. We can't do another 4 years. We're not doing it.
Nope.
We're gonna teach our own children. We're gonna take back our children. We're dismantling these prisons, these plantations across the country, and we're gonna swim in blackness. We're gonna swim. And don't worry, y'all. You ain't gonna drown. You ain't gonna drown. You're gonna have a rebirth. You're gonna have a rebirth. Thank y'all so much. We coming to the end. Brother Rich, what you think? What you think? This is we at the end of our No Love for Black Boys series, but we highlight people that have a strong love. What you thinking?
Great show.
What you think, Brother Ty? We good? We think, but Ty, deep thought. But Ty's our Pisces. He be on another planet half the time, brother. he be ready. He thinking. So, folks, thank y'all so much for being with us. Brother Jihad, thank you so much. Any final words as we close out?
No, I want to say that you guys gained a fan. I'm a fan of this show. I mean, I'm listening to Brother Ty. I'm like, man, I love this. I want to hear this every week. So let me know when the show is on, okay. What time. And I'm
going to
tune in.
Okay. We back. We was on hiatus for a little bit. We do a lot of projects with our folks in the African countries, but we back because people was like, where y'all at? Where Brother Ty at? Come back. So, and Bro Rich was about to run us down and beat us up. So we back. And as you mentioned, we doing part of our cosmic assignment. We're going to do it until we can't do it no more. So thank you so much. Bismillah to all the people you work with, your wife, all those amazing folks in LA. We give a shout. When we out in that area, we're going to come visit you. I bet you. Yeah, we would love to come visit school. Put us to work. Sure, me and Brother Ty, put us to work.
Now we're gonna do maybe an episode there of the show. Inshallah. You guys come out. Let's do a whole program. And I want to shout out Sister Aziza Ali.
Yes, the principal. Yes.
And then also our vice principal, who she assists, Sister Aziza Ali is my wife, Sister Garland, and all of our teachers. I mean, it's too many people to mention right now, but our entire staff.
Yes.
I mean, we have a very beautiful staff, and they're well qualified.
Yeah.
For the position, so we and shout out to you all. Thank you all for offering us this space and opportunity to have this conversation.
Thank you. We're going to continue to uplift y'all, put y'all, and we'll check back in with you. Y'all, next we're going to bring everybody together, see how you're doing. But folks, make sure y'all donate to Islah Academy. Go online. As we mentioned last week, we got too many millionaires out here now. We should be able to fund our own children's education.
Yeah, it's important.
All we got to do is make up our mind. We got enough monies out here. We got to fund our own children's education. We can do this. So, folks, thank y'all so much. Thank you, Brother Jihad. Thank you, Islah Academy, all our folks in L.A.
Thank you all.
Doing y'all thing, and we'll talk soon. And Nas and Lauryn Hill, they're going to take us out of here, y'all. Folks in diaspora, keep the vibration high. Stay in the sun. Children of the light. Peace and blessings.
Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot. My son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if it was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough. No parole, no rubbers. Going raw. Imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read. The world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons.
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be if you could be mine, we both shine?
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days and times. Yo, where to be? Paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range. Cash, lost tribe of Shabazz. Free at last. Brand new whips to crash. Then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew. How we do? Trees for breakfast. Dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision. The better living. Type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies. History's told foul. But I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child. Seeing things like I was controlling. Click rolling. Tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn tripe life to lavish. Political prisoner set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to willies. It sound foul, but every girl I meet will go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
To the sun, we won't land.
hear the story, how the thugs live in worry. Duck down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for papes. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight. Trying to get laced, flip the A, stack the safe. Millionaire plan to keep the game with the cocked hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich. Still nobody want a brother having shh. If I ruled the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the Q45 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or B felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the
if I ruled the world?
Imagine that.